Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this beautiful Sunday morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of each pew and pass it on to your neighbor seated next to you. Elders, deacons, and committee chair people, please be reminded that our February board meeting will be today, right after this service in the upper room. We will need a quorum for that meeting because we have an item of business regarding the a contract for some of our office technology. And this Wednesday, March 2nd, is the Lenten season begins, and all are welcome to attend our Ash Wednesday worship service in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock p.m. We'll offer the disposition of ashes for those who are interested in receiving them after the service. And after further discussions with several church members, church leaders, we will not be offering the weekly Lenten suppers this year. However, plans are underway for our regular Holy Week and Easter activities in April, including the children's program on Palm Sunday, the Easter Sunday sunrise service and breakfast, and the flowering of the cross during both the 8:30 and 11 o'clock Easter Sunday services. We also anticipate resuming our monthly potluck lunches, beginning with the first one on Sunday, May 1st, immediately after the 11 o'clock worship service in the fellowship hall. This Friday, March 4th, ladies are invited to attend the Church Women United World Day of Prayer meeting here in the Berry Christian Church Sanctuary from 9:30 a.m. until 12 noon. This year's theme is, I Know the Plans I Have for You, as described in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 1 through 14. Please also check out further announcements in the bulletin announcement page concerning choir rehearsals, and your assistance is always appreciated, as items needed for the church's food pantry are also listed on the same page inside your bulletins. All right, now may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Teach us to live according to your truth. We will always trust in you. We'll now sing number 572, Take Time to Be Holy, stanzas 1 and 4.
Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord, abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing God's blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control, thus led by his Spirit to fountains.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Merciful and loving God, we are grateful for the privilege to gather in your name in your house this morning. While our hearts feel heavy with the chaos of war in Europe, we are blessed to be safe here at Berry and to live in a community, in a country where peace reigns on our land. We welcome the presence now of the Holy Spirit to guide our worship and the living presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, in whose name we pray, amen. never lost their page in the past. Today was just Lenora's turn. Let's take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as Ryan leads us in singing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me. Of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. I heard everybody out there say good morning. I didn't hear one good morning from up here. Now see, you, I know you can talk louder. See, you just did. I don't know what it is about that good morning that just clams them up. What's this? I was going to say, that's the funniest looking ship I have ever seen in my life. What is that? Anchor. There you go. It goes with a ship, yes. What happens if a ship doesn't have one of these? When it's out there in the ocean or it's out there on the sea, what happens to it if it doesn't have an anchor? You're right. It just floats all over the place, doesn't it? Can't sit. They can't stop it. Right. They might run into other boats. They'd just, it'd be a mess, wouldn't it? Well, you know what? Today we're going to talk about Jesus as an anchor. Do you know Jesus is our anchor? If we don't have Jesus, what happens? If we don't know Jesus and we don't have Jesus in our lives, what happens to us? We just kind of wander all over the place, don't we? We don't know what's right. We don't know what we should be doing. We don't know how we should be doing it. Jesus is the one that anchors us and keeps us where we need to be. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It's talking about the hope of Jesus, the promises of Jesus. And Jesus never lies, does he? Jesus doesn't know how to lie. Jesus can't lie because God can't lie. They can't because they're pure. And so they can't tell us lies. So we know we can always trust in what Jesus tells us. And we can always count on Jesus to be our anchor. When our life just gets crazy and things are just busy and nuts and we don't know how to feel about things, we go to Jesus and he gets to be our anchor and he brings us back and he can calm us down and he can bring us back where we need to be, can't he? Yeah. Yeah. I know you know that. As a matter of fact, we're gonna give you each a little card to remind you that our hope in Jesus is our anchor. They say, hope anchors me. So you can put that in your pocket. You can put it on your bedside table. Maybe you can stick it on a mirror. Keep it with you all the time. Okay, can we have a little prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day and the sunshine. Thank you for always being our anchor, for always helping us to know where we need to be and how to be safe and secure in your love and your promises. The hope of that love and promise is always with us. And we especially during hard times need that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go.
In our prayers this week, I would certainly like for you to continue to keep Dolly Llewellyn lifted up. Dolly, was able to get out of intensive care first part of last week, but she continues to be hospitalized, and she is hoping that she can go to rehabilitation starting tomorrow. That is provided that the concerns that she's had with continual fluid in her lungs is finally cleared up enough. So we keep her in our prayers. Tim Jackson was given the go-ahead to return to his custodial duties here at the church, and so he's going to start doing that on Tuesday, so we're grateful for that. Jean Hamilton, she was here at this service last Sunday, and you remember the wind last Sunday morning? Well, she and George were going to a restaurant after the 11 o'clock service, and she was opening up a door to the restaurant, and the wind caught the door. That got her off balance, and she fell, and the fracture of her right hip caused the need for that hip joint to be replaced. So she went through all that at the beginning of this past week and has now gone to St. Luke's Hospital up in Smithville for rehabilitation because that's closer to her son's house. So please keep Jean Hamilton in your prayers as she's making that recovery. We keep Rihanna Ralston in our prayers. She did go through some testing regarding a valve in her heart, still waiting on results for that to determine what's going to happen next. Certainly a number of other people for us to continue to keep in mind as we have each week, but also word of celebration as Anna Ekrit lets us know that Michelle Ekrit and D'Angelo White gave birth to Xavier Gregory White on the 26th of February. 7 pounds, 3 ounces, 20 inches in length, right? And as born over here at the St. Luke's here on Berry Road. So congratulations to the Ekrit family. Bless you guys. Yeah. Hope all continues well. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence in prayer. Merciful and loving God, we humbly bow our heads in prayer before your presence, privileged to once again assemble in your house of worship as we freely choose, without fear of reprisal. As we continue to lift up the names of individuals and families very dear to us, we seek your abiding presence and healing power to dwell among the lives of those whom we mention, as well as those whose names dwell within our hearts. And as the invasion in Ukraine continues to unfold from this past week, O God, We seek your great mercies and care for the loved ones of the nearly 200 lives lost, and your watchful care for the more than 1,000 citizens now wounded, as well as the hundreds of thousands who are now refugees. As citizens of the sovereign nation of Ukraine fight to retain their families, their nationality, their homes, their businesses, and their property, we seek your divine intervention that justice may prevail. We mourn the truth that over the centuries, malevolent leaders continue their quest for power and the property of others, regardless of the painful consequences and cost to thousands, if not in fact millions, the world over. And as so many of the people of Ukraine, and indeed many people of faith the world over, who are also dealing with tribulations, all profess the same Christ as Lord that we proclaim every Sunday morning, may all of us be mindful that so many of the thousands suffering, mourning the loss of loved ones and fleeing their homelands as refugees are indeed fellow citizens of Christ, as are we. Thus guide us, O God, in the endeavors we may pursue to bear one another's burdens, as the Apostle Paul instructs us to do in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. For in doing so, we will obey the law of Christ. This we pray, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You are.
Miriam Drury wrote this morning's communion hymn, Become to Us the Living Bread, back in 1970, asking us to pray that Christ may become for us the living bread by which the Christian life is fed, and that Christ may also become the unfailing wine, the spring of joy that shall incline our hearts to hear the covenant sign. These are elements that feed, renew, and comfort us, helping us to live as God's people. The third stanza then shifts the singer's prayer from thoughts of bread and wine to the longing that all Christians may be united around the table for God's glory. As the third stanza states, may Christians all with one accord unite around the sacred board, the praise, to praise your holy name, O Lord. As this hymn strives to draw us into an ever closer relationship with others through Christ, we turn to this morning's communion hymn number 423 as we sing all stanzas of Become to Us the Living Word. As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Jerry leads us in a word of prayer.
O God, our Father, we ask that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you bless this bread and wine. As we partake of each, may we remember it was only by the body and blood of Christ that we may be forgiven. Be with each of us in quiet meditation as we remember him, and to know his spirit is with us always. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
Many may think the concerns of the people of Ukraine are a far distance from our homes, as 5,687 miles, most of it the North Atlantic, separates the eastern shore of the United States from the border of Ukraine in Eastern Europe. But in matters of faith, we must remember that the majority of the people in Ukraine, many now losing their lives, their homes, and their livelihoods, are much closer in faith than most of us would ever imagine. A 71% of the nation profess the Christian faith with a particular adherence to Orthodox Christianity. By the way, that compares to 65% of American people. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. We're led with a word of prayer as we also receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Thank you, Peggy.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, for the blessings of this and all our days, we thank you. Except, we pray, not just this money, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all you have done for us. Use them both in this place and wherever you might take us. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. As we are continuing this series on the Beatitudes, we are now in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, very brief scripture text. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we're privileged to share in worship in your home and to truly understand that as we are drawn ever closer to you through Christ, your Son and our Savior, we certainly can experience a purity of heart that helps us to experience you most fully. For this privilege, we give thanks as we focus on your word. Amen. In our sixth beatitude, by the way, there are eight of these, so you got two more sermons here on this series. But here in the sixth beatitude of Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus is offering a word of adulation to those who are pure in heart and saying that they are the ones who will see God. But what did Jesus mean then, and what does he mean to convey to us today? The Greek word for heart here in this text in the New Testament is the word kardi. It applies to the spiritual center of one's life. One's heart is one's thoughts, desires, character, and thus one's willfulness. To put all of that together, one's heart here in this context sums up to be what one could more easily call the consciousness that ultimately guides one's outward actions. And the Greek word for pure in this New Testament text is katharos. It means to be clean, blameless, or free from guilt. Thus, a person who is pure in heart is the one whose inner consciousness is not corrupted by evil ways, but rather guided by godly thoughts and motivations. As 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 states, your beauty should consist of your true inner self, the ageless beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Truth be told, however, because of the fallen nature of all of us as a consequence of the fall of Adam and Eve, we know that none of us is ever really pure. As Isaiah 59, verse 2 tells us, it is your sins that separate you from God. And as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. It is a fact that our human predicament has got us in such a situation that it is only through Christ that we can be cleansed from sin. But as we become aligned with God through our repentance, our confession of faith, and a reorientation of life's direction toward God, we can discover at least how to strive toward purity of heart, or a genuine desire on one's part to focus our eyes, our minds, indeed our consciousness, ever so sharper toward Jesus' example. And it is the inspiration of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that helps us to focus on godly ways. As 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that kind of gives you a hint about this notion of the pure in heart. But as the latter portion of the Beatitude tells us, the pure in heart shall see God, we must understand, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to see God? Seeing God doesn't mean to see the real presence of God with our own eyes. Because even as we look at the Old Testament text of Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, we understand that God says that, as he even said to Moses, no one will see God and live. Because in that portion of text, we know that even as Moses was making that request, God says, oh no, you can't see my face. But I tell you what, I'm going to put you behind the cleft of a rock here, and you'll be able to glimpse at my glory, the brilliance of my glory as I pass home by. And of course, that's the only glimpse that even Moses gets with all the connection that he had with God. But here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, to see has nothing to do with our eyes. Instead, it means to realize something that is significant. It is that big aha moment. You know, it's like the child in school who's muddling through all these details about how to work out a particular algebraic math problem. You know, I never did very good on those. Surely I'm not the only one. You know, you muddle through those and you're trying to, how does this work? How does this work? I can't figure out. But that aha moment is when you say, oh, now I get it. Now I realize how it all figures out. Or it's, you know, you've got that set of plans sitting out there and you got all these bits and pieces scattered about the room and you think, I'm trying to put this thing together. How does this and this and this piece work? You just sit there and work at it, look at it long enough. Finally, you say, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. Here's how to proceed. To see God, it is like experiencing that kind of aha moment in our relationship to God. What Jesus is telling us in the Beatitude is that as one strives for a clarity of godly intention in one's life, one attains a sense of mental and spiritual clarity that allows one to truly realize the very presence of God living within oneself. Our minds, our hearts, our willfulness is so very much freed from the cloudy clutter of temptations of the world that we can experience God in a much deeper, more meaningful way. This is what it means to see God. But possibly an illustration can help us understand this more fully. Think of the night sky. Standing outside our homes here in the city, even on the clearest of nights, we can't really see much of the night sky. There are a few stars that may be visible on a clear night. And we can stand there and strain our necks looking upward, but there is very little that we see with the naked eye, because there is so much glare, so much air pollution, and nowadays so much light pollution that our view is most definitely clouded. This is the problem with being so deeply immersed in the busyness of our worldly ways. The bright neon, the glitz, the glamour of the world's temptations, our selfish interests, and all of our day-to-day focuses make it very difficult for us to see very much at all in the way of godliness. If we want to get a better glimpse of the stars on a clear night, we've got to first drive out on some lonely country road. And I can remember such experiences quite vividly because there were a multitude of nights when I was making my trek from Abilene back to the little town of Albany, Texas. And I mean to tell you, on that road, there are more cattle than anything else, and they don't care about your presence whatsoever. In fact, there's not even so much as a convenience store between those two locations. It is wide open, nothing but ranch land. And in fact, if it's a cloudy, dark night, you could actually pull off from the main road off to one of the little gravel side roads. You could turn off your lights on your car and put your hand in front of your face. You can't see anything because there's zero light. But I had this little yellow convertible back then. Every once in a while, I'd take it into Abilene, and I'd be running back home on a beautiful, clear night. You know, because there's not so much pollution out there out west anyway. And I could pull off on one of those little side roads and with the top already down, just glance up. And oh my gosh, the brilliance of the night sky is just so profound because You know, with the depth of that inky blackness of the night, and that is in contrast to the brilliance of such a multitude of stars that there's no way you can even begin to count them, really gives you a humbling perspective about how brilliant things can be when you've got the right kind of circumstances, right? And again, it's one of those things we rarely see in our city world, is it? Rarely. From a spiritual point of view, getting out on that country road and stopping to look up at the depth of the darkness, to look at the brilliance of the stars contrasted by that deep, dark blackness. This is what happens when we begin to experience God by making a deliberate effort to step away from our worldly ways and to get serious about our search for God by reading the Bible, attending worship, and being in fellowship, praying to God, and genuinely seeking repentance for our sins. But you know, there's only so much that we can really see looking up at that sky all by ourselves. We need a better tool than our eyes and our personal experience. From an astronomical point of view, surely the Hubble telescope offers such clarity. Positioned far above the Earth's atmosphere, seeing far, far more than the most powerful telescopes perched here on the highest mountain on Earth, Hubble looks through the clarity of the deep, deep space and sees a vast array of galaxies and countless astronomical phenomena. Of course, you know, I delivered this message at the early service this morning, and Arlita White actually mentioned after the service, she says, you know, Dennis, I actually saw Hubble, obviously before it was deployed, but she had a relative who had been working on it for 17 years. And close to the time when it was to be deployed, she was out there at where it was located, and she got to actually see it. That's exciting, isn't it? But from a spiritual point of view, surely Jesus Christ is our spiritual Hubble telescope. Through Jesus, we see with great clarity and precision the intricacies of God's very presence, very up close and personal in relationship to ourselves and others. Staying focused on what are the ways of Jesus Christ, we certainly see God. We see the experience of God's great love, His intentions, God's destiny for humanity and for all creation. As Jesus tells the Apostle Philip in John chapter 14, verse 9, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And the more we peer into our spiritual Hubble telescope, revealed in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus, the more every one of us must be inspired to therefore want to be like Jesus. In our mannerisms, in our intentions, in our very consciousness, and thus we become more pure in heart as we stay focused on Christ's ways. As 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 states, everyone who has this hope in Christ, and hope in Christ means salvation in Christ, as everyone who has this salvation keeps himself pure, just as Christ is pure. And Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 says, a good person brings good things out of the treasure of good things. Yes, it's true. As we remain here on earth, we will never be truly pure in heart, as was our loving Lord Jesus. But we can strive to have a consciousness of Christ and to do the best we can to emulate His ways, His manners, His thoughts, His words, and His actions. Thus, the sixth beatitude can state for us today, and remember, every one of the beatitudes I said starts this way. Oh, the blessedness of. Oh, the blessedness of the one who possesses a clarity of godly consciousness. for that person shall surely experience the godliness of Christ. Is Christ your Lord and Savior? Is he guiding your life? Is he your Hubble telescope? If he isn't, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend that invitation as we turn to hymn number 573, Pure in Heart, O God. We're going to sing all stanzas, please. May we stand. Being in the Lord's house this morning. A few reminders again, elders, deacons, committee chair folks, we have very quick board meeting up in the upper room right after this service. We do need your attendance so we can vote on the issue regarding the equipment for the church office. Also, this week, Lenten season starts on Wednesday with the Ash Wednesday service, very brief service here in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock for those of you who may want to attend with us. We look forward to your presence. And ladies, please remember the World Day of Prayer service for Church Women United. That'll be here in the sanctuary this coming Friday, 9:30 in the morning until about noon. Ladies, you all are welcome to attend. May we bow our heads in prayer as we depart. Lord God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house. Guide us as we step forward into the new week. We pray that we surely may strive to focus our attention in Christ-like ways so that indeed we may have that purity of heart that guides us ever closer to you. Lord God, certainly our hearts are always mindful of the concerns of the folks in Ukraine. We pray for your guidance, your blessing, your hope, and your presence to be with all in the midst of the tribulations they are experiencing. Guide us as we journey forward in the new week. For in Christ we are privileged to worship and serve your name. Amen.